Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. My friends, let me tell you, religious persecution is coming. The Bible makes this very clear. It's clearly prophesied in the pages of your Bible. But I want to show you today that we are already beginning to see persecution. And I'm not just talking about in anti-godly countries, dictatorial countries, communist countries. I am talking about the Western world. I am talking about the United States of America, Great Britain, the United Kingdom, Australia, New Zealand, and also, of course, continental Europe. I've written a letter to our readership, and this one is dated July 12, 2012. And I'd like to read a little bit from this letter to you as to what I wrote, and I hope that you will understand as we go through those statements, how dangerous our situation already is here in the United States. And we can also look at the persecution in other countries and hopefully draw from it and to see the dangers. If they are allowed there in Western democratic Christian countries, what will stop us to allow them here? Notice what it says in this letter. How close are we to the day of Christ's return? Of course, we do not know for sure, and we should never attempt to set dates, not even speculative dates, but we are encouraged to observe the signs of the time, to determine whether or not the day is near. And then I'm quoting Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 32. Sadly, before Christ can come back, terrible events will have to occur first, described in the Bible as the Great Tribulation and the Day of the Lord. Even though some in God's church will be protected at a place of safety here on earth, not in heaven, others will have to experience unparalleled persecution and even martyrdom. And the book of Revelation is very clear on that. But Paul said that all who want to live godly will suffer persecution. If you want to live godly, you will suffer persecution. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 tells you that. And that means even prior to the end of this present evil age. And increasing religious persecution of the faithful is one indication of impending frightful days of such magnitude, such as not have been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be, Christ says in Matthew chapter 24 and in verse 21. We should be able to see that religious intolerance and rejection of godly standards are on an unparalleled rise in especially the Western world, including, as I said, the United States, Canada, the UK, and continental Europe. In Isaiah 5 and verse 20, God pronounces a curse on those, and I quote, who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light, light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter. In these last days, we see how this wrong standard of reversed values has terribly increased. Under the influence, of course, Satan the devil, who is deceiving the whole world, as Revelation 12 and verse 9 tells you. His wrath is great because he knows that his days of deception are numbered. He transforms himself to an angel of light. Satan transforms himself to an angel of light. And if you don't believe that, read 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 14. And that passage goes on to say in verse 15 that he inspires his ministers. So Satan does have ministers to pretend to be ministers of righteousness. But he says, of course, the end will be manifested very clearly. But these are the ones who call evil good and good evil, as Isaiah prophesied. And since it's so, we are not told today, including in many quote-unquote Christian churches in this country and around the world, what is good and holy and right in God's eyes. Do you know? Do you know what is good and right and holy in God's eyes? You see, we are told that those things which are abhorred by God are good, that righteous conduct which is upheld by God is evil. Just look around. I'm saying here in this letter, I'm saying it to you right now. Look around and note what is going on in our sophisticated quote-unquote civilized and enlightened world. God condemns homosexual practices. He condemns adultery. He condemns fornication, which is premarital sex. Our societies tolerate or even welcome all of them. God condemns wars and abortions, but we have been led to believe that these are necessary and sometimes even welcome to deal with our individual situations. God condemns pagan worship and insists instead in keeping his weekly and annual Sabbath. Do you know what they are? His weekly and annual Sabbaths. And do you know what those pagan worship days are all about? You see, Satan has deceived nominal Christianity even to abolish God's holy days and replace them with holidays, which are derived from paganism. Do you know which these are? God tells us, my friends, that it is wrong to ever physically abuse a child. You should never do that. You should never abuse your child physically, let alone sexually. But the Bible also tells us that on rare occasions, it is right to spank our little children in a balanced and loving way. If you don't believe that, look at the book of Proverbs, for example. However, man in his sophisticated, God-defying wisdom, and you can read about that one in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, he has determined that even light spanking is always wrong and must be rejected. And now physical circumcision, even though not required today for Christians, but most certainly not prohibited, has been declared a crime in Germany by a German court. And to the shame of many Germans and others, even Americans, it seems like a majority of them welcome that decision. Worldly courts in our Western societies have begun to interpret or enforce laws against quote-unquote hate crimes by prohibiting sermons of ministers who are willing to teach the clear doctrines of the Holy Bible. And they're being threatened now with fines and jail terms. Mind you, we are not talking about dictatorial countries such as China or Russia. We are talking about so-called Christian societies in our Western world. We can expect, my friends, these kinds of practices to continue and to increase in frequency and power, testing all of us to whom we are willing to obey more, God or man. Peter had to ask that question and answer it. Whom are we supposed to obey, God or man, if there is a conflict? In some quote-unquote Christian countries, parents are being confronted with mandatory school attendance laws, prohibiting homeschooling, prohibiting them from being excused to listen to the abominable sexual education classes, and of course prohibiting them to attend religious services of religious minorities. What about mandatory, compulsory laws enforcing people to enter the army? What if those have conscientious objections against fighting in war? There are countries which don't allow conscientious objection. Western, civilized, quote-unquote Christian countries I am talking about. What will those people do? Will they obey God or man? Some countries require, I go on to say in this letter, of their citizens to vote in governmental elections, required to vote, or to serve on a jury. Now, there are some who are objecting to these kind of things. What are they going to do? Are they going to obey God, following their own conscience, based on their sincere religious beliefs? Or are they going to buckle and follow the dictates of man? Many face difficulties on their jobs, as employers will try to persuade their employees who, for instance, believe in the sanctity of the weekly Sabbath, they are being required to do some work, some little work. But of course the problem is, once you give in a little, then of course it's going to be a lot more difficult next time to uphold your religious conviction. So the pressure is there. The pressure is continuing. The fact is we are not living in a godly world, my friends. No country, and I repeat, no country is governed in a godly and righteous way. We have all rejected God and turned our backs on Him. And Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 9, tells us that. We are all under Satan's influence. This Babylonian system permeates the whole world, and we are told to come out of her, my people, so that we will not partake of their sins and will also not have to partake of their plagues. My friends, if we want to be true Christians, we are to continue in our godly endeavors. We have to be the lights shining in this dark and black world. We are going to experience persecution for man under Satan's rule, but in the end it will be all worth it, because it says that God will crush Satan under our feet shortly. And we will assist Christ in ruling this world righteously and godly, applying God's uncompromising and unalterable standards, defining what's holy and right, what's wrong, what's clean, what's unclean, what's good and what's evil. Ezekiel chapter 44 tells you that. So let's make sure that we don't become indifferent today towards our individual and collective responsibilities, because we will soon reap everlasting life if we don't lose heart. Galatians chapter 6, verses 8 and 9. Thanks very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.